David Hochberg joins the show now. David, I just want to thank you again. You have you are helping us all, me included, with our fiscal responsibilities at home and financial Fridays now. My husband and I, we pay our credit cards every Friday, try to keep that credit score up. And that's thanks to you, David. I don't know. Usually, like I said, used to be fun Fridays. Now it's fiscal Fridays. We sit down, we do it.
You can still have fun being fiscally responsible. There's nothing wrong with
it. Not really.
No,
I don't
know.
It's not that much fun.
All right, sorry.
But then we have fun after, so it works out. Hey, a couple things we want to get to today is debt collectors, how to deal with them. During the pandemic, a lot of more people have slipped into seeing these notices come in the mail and how to deal with some things you got out there. Because I know there are some specific things you talk about. And then we got to get to the wave of foreclosures. You've been telling me about this, and it's coming, and your tips for managing that as we talk about that. But debt collectors first. Let's talk about your ideas about what we should do.
Well, the number one idea is you have to get ahead of it, right? If you bury your head in the sand, that collection is not going to go away. So if you get a notice, you have to address it. And the best way to address it is this. You have to call the collection company and work out some type of payment plan. Now, some people might not even know they have a collection. I mean, we pull hundreds of people, you know, hundreds of our listeners' credit every single month, and you go to them and you're like, hey, you know, you've got this credit with ABC Collection Company, and they're like, what the hell is that for? And then we're like, well, I don't know, here's a phone number, give them a call, it's for 100, 200, whatever it is. If you have one of those that you have no idea, that's an easy fix, right? We just had a guy who had a 656 credit score. He had a $300-$400 collection. His daughter had a medical bill. He had no idea about it. It was on there for 3 years. He called them up, paid it in full, got a deletion letter. Credit scores jumped to 738, qualified him for half a point lower in the interest rate. So what our listeners need to understand is when the collection goes to a collection company, when the debt goes to a collection company, let's just keep it simple. It's $100, okay? That company, okay, so your dentist's, right, you have a $100 bill with the dentist or a municipality. They don't want to chase after you. They'll go to a collection company and take 10 or 20 cents on the dollar. So they'll get $10 or $20 for that $100 receivable just to have the money coming in instead of running after you and having their staff constantly badger you. So they sell the debt off for $10, $20. Now the collection company's got this debt on their books, and their goal is to get as much money as humanly possible because they didn't spend $100 getting that collection. They invested a certain amount of money. So the best thing that our listeners can do is don't put your head in the sand, right? Don't ostrich yourself and just think it's going to go away. That thing's going to follow you until you address it. And then when you call the collection companies, they're human beings on the other side. Just tell them honestly what the story is, right? Hey, My, you know, something broke down. I had a sick child. I got sick. I lost my job. And try to negotiate the best deal that you could get. And then when you do that, you got to be ready to pay or get on a payment plan. Because if you're like, all right, I owe you a $500 collection. I could pay $100. I could pay $150. I could pay $300. They're going to be like, okay, well, you know, we'll take $300 right now. We need your ABA routing number and your account number because they're going to zap that money out of your account right away. And that's what you have to do, Anna. The best thing I could tell the listeners is don't lie, get ahead of it, and address it head on with the collection company, and take notes. You have to take notes who you spoke to, what time you spoke to them, what their names are, what extension they're at, because you could call back three times and talk to six different people. So you need to have documentation as well.
Let's say you get a collection letter like the gentleman you described with his daughter that or something you didn't even know about, say,
sure.
And something arrives. Do you, what if you say, okay, well, I didn't know I had to pay this. So do you go and call the original person who you owed, like the hospital, or do you call the debt collector? Does that matter?
Yeah, so it's already at the collection company, so the collection company owns the debt. So he called up, I think it was Meta something. I forgot the name already. It was
right.
Last week. It was Meta something. We gave the phone number that's on the credit reports that we run. And if it's not on the credit reports, we call the credit agency that we pull the credit through. And we're like, hey, we've got a collection here that didn't come out on the accounts of that are showing up in the credit report. Can you give us a number? And then we take that number and provide it to the borrower, and the borrower makes a call because it has to come from the borrower. And what this borrower did, hey, you know, I don't know anything about this. I never got a bill. I owe you whatever I owe you. I want to pay you right now. He paid it, got a letter from them. Again, his credit scores went from the mid-600s to the low-700s, saved him a half a point in an interest rate on the loan that we were trying to secure for him. It's a big difference.
I'm just saying some people might want to avoid calling the debt collectors. They'd rather call the original person who they owed the money to. And
it's
you can't do
there,
that
though.
Anymore?
It's already
no longer a choice.
Well, it's okay. I want to say it's not only a choice. You know, the collection company might have to go back to the creditor and you know, the original creditor and ask them questions. I don't know. But right now, whoever has that debt is the company that you need to call.
Okay, and you got to request a deletion letter, or do they always offer that up for you?
They're not going to offer anything, okay? You know, listen, again, it's pay and delete. That's what it is. And you're not going to get a deletion letter unless you pay it in full, okay? That's what our experience has found. So if there's a $500 debt, $200 debt, whatever the debt is, you're like, listen, I'm trying to fix my credit. I've been told if I could pay this in full and get a deletion letter, that's really going to help my credit. I went through a really bad stretch here. I'm trying to get the ship righted. Can I get, if I pay it in full, will you give me a deletion letter? 9 out of 10 times, there's one company, if I could remember the name, I'd slam them on the air because of what they're doing is wrong, because there's no reason that they shouldn't give the deletion letter, but I can't think of it right now. 9 out of 10 times with the companies that we've experienced and have worked with and that our borrowers have worked with, they get the deletion letters.
Okay. You always say document the stuff. Get everything in writing from them. So before you hang up the phone with the debt collector, say, can you send me an email, or what do you do? You send me something in the mail?
100%. Get whatever they'll give you. You know, preferably an email confirming the conversation. Maybe you could get an email of the person you're talking to so you could confirm the conversation going back to them. Whatever you have in writing, the more you have to document the conversation that you had and the agreement that you struck with whoever you spoke with, from the collection company, it's better. Because, you know, the last thing you want is, okay, I spoke to Pat on Friday, and you and Pat worked out this, and you agreed to a $300 payment to get this $2,000 debt away, whatever it is. And then you call back on Monday, you're like, yeah, I want to talk to Pat, and Pat got gunned on Friday night, and now there's no record of any conversation, right? So at least if you have some type of email correspondence going back to Pat or whoever you spoke with, There's your confirmation, even if Pat, you know, got fired or lost or got sick or didn't come in or found another job and that was Pat's last day. At least you've got confirmation of what's going on. You got a better shot of following it through.
You mentioned negotiating him. I didn't even know you could do that. But then you should do that. Or what circumstances would you say, David, should you negotiate with them?
Well, here, I'm working with a guy right now who was in the concert business. Okay, he was in the concert setup business. So he would travel around to different venues and he'd be the one schlepping in the black boxes up on stage and packing the boxes and taking them down, everything else. He got wiped out. Last March, his credit score is 516. He's got 3 collections right now and $40,000 worth of credit card debt. So he's starting to get some gigs coming back. He's starting to work back. A guy like that, that's so severely damaged, we did the what-if scenario. We have the capability of doing what if you paid this off? What if you paid and deleted this? What it would do with your credit score? This guy is so badly damaged because he has multiple late on his, thank God his mortgage is on time. He has multiple lates on his consumer credit, and he has 3 gigantic collections, which he did not have the dough to pay off. For him, it would be better off to settle up and do the best you can. Right? For him, I told him, don't worry about the collections right now. Just go 12 months with not paying anything late. Okay, because the challenge with him was he kept slipping and making late payments on his credit cards, which is horrendous if you have a past history of late credit cards. So it's a tough answer for that. It's a tough question to answer because there are so many specific types of situation. If you have 1 or 2 collections and you didn't know about it, go ahead and pay it off in full, knock it out, and your credit score should bounce up. If you're a complete credit challenged individual right now because you got wiped out due to COVID, I talked to another guy who was running a restaurant, right? He was making 85 G's a year running a restaurant. Him and his wife wanted to buy a house. I pulled his credit score. He's at 450, right? He thought he was at 660. I'm like, I don't know where you got that. You're 220 points off. You know, you've basically paid everything late. And I wasn't being critical. It's just life, okay? Finally got another job at another restaurant making $75,000, but he had to live off his credit cards because his wife wasn't working. His wife was at home taking care of the 2 kids, and this guy got completely wiped out. He had 5 collections totaling about $7,000. I said, listen, don't worry about buying a house right now. Worry about paying your credit cards off over time. Worry about paying your credit cards on time over the next 12 months. And then after you build up an emergency fund, after you've, what you've just been through, you know, they had like $17 in the bank. Like, you know, first of all, you don't have any money to buy a house. You shouldn't be buying a house. They're living in their mother's basement right now. I'm like, just deal with the mother for another year. I know you want to get out and just work on enhancing your credit. So it's a tough question to answer because there's so many different variables. But if you only have a couple of collections that's holding you down, pay it off. If you're a complete credit challenged individual due to what happened because of COVID or whatever happened, you got sick, you lost your job, worry about paying your bills off on time. Don't worry so much about the collections and go 12 months with making your payments on time with all your credit, all your debt, mortgages, cars, student loan. You'll be in a much better space in 12 months from today to address and attack those collections.
Okay, we've got questions from listeners here. I want to get this one in. 847, can you ask David, Anna, about paying your credit card every Friday? We spoke about that. Do you pay it off or do you just pay part each week? My understanding is part every week.
If you get paid off in full, that's the best because you'll only have a week's worth of charges, okay? Now, I'm not naive to think that every listener out there has got the resources to pay your credit cards off every week in full. If you can pay it off every week in full, pay it off every week in full. If you can only pay a portion of it every single Friday because you get paid every other week or you've got side jobs coming in, pay off what you can. If you can't pay it off in full, just start chipping it down. Especially, Anna, if you carry a balance, okay? I know there's a lot of our listeners like, oh, yeah, I wish I could pay it off every Friday. And I'm not that naive. I'm not naive at all. I see it. If you could chip it away every Friday, it's better than waiting for the credit card bill to be due at the end of the month. It's better to chip away at it every single week with whatever you can, and your credit will get better faster. And I'm sure what's going to happen within the next 2 weeks, if it hasn't happened already, with your mailbox is going to start getting bombed. You're going to have a party in there with credit card offers because your credit score is going to shoot up 20 to 40 points easily because of what you're doing every Friday. It's just a fact. I've done this for 21 plus years. I'm telling you, it works.
I know you know. Yeah. You know all of this. This is why you're a tremendous resource because I think a lot of us have questions about this now more than ever. Before we pause for a second, I know we want to talk about forbearance as well, but another question for you, David. If you negotiate a deal, as you were talking about, does that impact your credit score more than if you pay it off in full? Is there a difference in how it impacts your credit score?
Well, sure. If you pay it off in full and get a deletion, that's better than settling up. If you have seven different collections there and you have $5,000 to spend, I'm just using this as an example. If you have seven to right. 10 different collections and you've got a limited amount of money to put towards it, and you could settle it up and make them go away, that's better than waiting until you have all the money to try to do the pay and delete. Because if you could get all seven away and you're not going to buy for a year or so, time heals all wounds, right? So if you're looking to buy at the end of next year or the end of this year and you could pay and you got the resources to do a pay and delete, then by all means, do the pay and delete, and most likely you'll be in a better position. What I would recommend is you talk to a mortgage professional before you do all that to see exactly what is the best way to handle it. Because, again, for the individual who had the three collections with the guy that was working the concerts, it didn't make sense for him to pay off the collection. It was just better for him to just stop paying things late if he could and just worry about the collections later. So if you have a ton of collections and you're looking to buy a home in the future, talk with a mortgage professional that'll pull your credit. I use the marathon analogy all the time, right? Why somebody wants to run a marathon is beyond me. 26.2 miles, I don't like sitting in a car that long. But if that's what you like, right? The marathon's always in what? October, right? You don't strap on the sneakers in September and you start running in a marathon for 26.2 miles, right? You strap on the sneakers now, right? If not January, February, to start training for the October race. It's the same thing with getting your credit in order for a major purchase, a car, a boat, a home, if you want to rent a place. These are the things that you got to start thinking about today if you're looking to do something 6, 12, 18 months in the future. Work with a good mortgage professional, knows what they're doing, who has experience, and that has the what-if scenario that could do a bunch of different scenarios for our listeners, put you in the best position to get your scores up as much as possible for the least amount of resources in the shortest period of time so you could be in a position to have the highest credit score possible because you'll get the lowest rate.
We're on with David Hochberg. We're going to circle back. We've got to pause for a moment, David, and then we'll circle back on the forbearance issues. You've been calling my attention to this for some time, how a lot of the folks who put payments on hold during the pandemic, that's kind of running out over the next month or so. I'll ask you to explain and give us your advice on all that, too, coming up here more with David Hochberg on WGN. David, please explain to us. You're telling me that a wave of foreclosures is coming because of all the people who were able to put off their payments until the, you know, during the pandemic. A lot of that's coming due now. Right?
Correct. Correct. There were over 7 million homeowners that went into forbearance last March, which we've been talking about, the F word. Forbearance, which enabled homeowners to defer their mortgage payments until they were in a much better position to make their mortgage payments. There are some of our lenders, some of our listeners that went into forbearance as a defensive mode, like we've talked about numerous times, because they didn't know if they were going to lose their job or get their job cut or get their income cut. And they've put the money into a emergency fund. Once they saw that their job wasn't in danger, they went and got the emergency fund, contacted their servicer, paid them back. And they're back out of forbearance. A lot of our listeners have gone into forbearance, exited forbearance, entered into a modification agreement with their servicer. And the key is you need to have their servicer send them a modification agreement. We're working with a listener right now who's working with a bank that rhymes with Huntington. That listener exited forbearance in September, and the bank that rhymes with Huntington didn't send her the paperwork until March. So we've been ready to close since January on her loan. And they screwed around for over 6 months with this lady, with this listener, and she's not going to, and we're going to finally close her loan in May, which is ridiculous. And some of our listeners right now have been in forbearance, which is going to end at the end of this year. What happens at the end of June is that the foreclosure moratorium gets lifted, which is very scary for a lot of our listeners. It's less than 60 days away. And then for a lot of our listeners, the forbearance ends by the end of the year. There are lenders, there are servicers out there that are stacking up their REO, real estate owned department, which is their foreclosure departments, getting ready when the forbearance ends. And there's listeners out there, you know who you are, who no matter what they do with that mortgage payment, you got lucky over the past 18 months because of the federal programs that thank God have been there to keep in your homes, but you're still not working. You still don't have the money. Even if they eliminated the mortgage payment, you don't have enough money to make the tax, the real estate tax payment or the insurance payment. Those listeners right now, Anna, are going to get a tidal wave crashing down on them at the end of the year. And the only recommendation, and I know it's a tough decision, but this is the hottest real estate market that we've ever seen. And Amy Kite was on our show on Saturday. She's been getting calls from her short sale attorneys that she hasn't heard from since 2008 and 2010 saying they're getting calls. You better get ready. We've been in touch with servicers who said there are a number of FHA loans out there that allow 3.5% down that these borrowers, no matter what you do, are not going to be able to make the payment. My recommendation is this. It's a tough call, Anna, I understand, but you're in the hottest real estate market in the history of real estate markets. You could sell your home in under a week right now. It would be better for you and your family. Again, I understand it's a tough decision, but it would be better for you to get the heck out of that house and sell it for a profit than wait until you're in forbearance and wait until the forbearance is over and you can't settle up. And there's no way in heck that you're going to be able to cover that payment. And you go into foreclosure. And if you go into foreclosure, the banks are going to add another $20,000 to $40,000 legal fees on top of your mortgage payment. Hmm. But homeowners right now, listeners that are having challenges, a lot of listeners, there's over 2.5 million Americans that are still in forbearance. If you're one of those or know somebody that's having challenges, you need to talk to a realtor about getting out. And that is what our listeners need to do, or else at the end of the year, the banks are going to lift their forbearance and they're going to say, okay, I'm sorry, you can't make this payment. And there's already programs, the CFPB, the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, has already gone to the servicers and said, you better prove that you've done everything in your power to keep these homeowners in their homes. And they're going to try to, but it's going to come down to, if you don't have the money to pay your taxes and insurance and something back to the bank, then that bank has to unload that asset and get whole somehow. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be a cold-hearted SOB. It's just life. And
it's real.
It's real.
Yeah.
And if you could get out It's a tough call, but you've got to look to get out now when there's 10 buyers lining up to buy homes that qualify to buy homes.
And some potential upside there for you, too, to maybe get back into a lesser expensive home, potentially. I don't know. David, we're out of time. You're right. Not an easy call to make, but I'm sure a lot of folks appreciate that advice you just gave. It's going to be very relevant in a month or so. Thanks, David.
Thank
Good
you
talking
for having
with
me.
You, okay?
Talk to you later.